Hi, it's really great to have you with us. I'm Rob Porter. My wife Heather and I have the amazing privilege of being the senior pastors at Kingdom Culture Church in Burpengary, Queensland. We have an incredible preaching team, and I hope that this message will encourage and bless you as you listen.
Great season that we're in, not just as a church, but as just as the church. And you know, it was awesome. Pastor Rob took the staff down to Numa, and we had a great time and ministered down there as well. And God moved powerfully. And on Thursday, I don't know, Dad might tell you a bit about it tonight, but me and Pastor Jesse went and supported Mum and Dad as they ministered at the National FGA Conference, and it was just cool. Maybe a movement that's a touch more reserved, but still anointed. But watching Dad sort of tear down strongholds, I guess, and speak prophetically. I don't think it's a small thing that we've got. Just what's on the house is exciting. And seeing our senior leaders speak into a national movement is exciting. And seeing new songs being written in the house is exciting. And different ones of us being able to go out and bless the body is exciting. And but you are exciting. You know, part of how Dad was able to speak into the life of the FGA conference was he told them your story. He told them the story of this church and brought encouragement. And I pray that what I bring this morning is going to bring you encouragement, because we're actually not going to focus on, even though it's great, itinerant speaking and moves of God. We're going to talk about the mundane things of life and how we can live generously while we're in Coles, how we can live generously when the kids are going crazy, how we can live generously when we have the cares of the world on our shoulder. And I think if, as believers, we can be consistent and bring God and bring revival and sit at His feet, even in the hubbub and the minutiae of life, I think we might be onto something. So it's going to be good. Thank you, Abby. Appreciate you. I want to share with you this morning a sermon, part of our giving series. And when Dad sent out the preaching brief, this service this morning is about being generous across the board, but with a focus on your energy. I know, a bit different, isn't it? Focus on your energy, your time, your talent, your energy. And I think the local church has been so blessed over the years by the energy of many people who said, I'm gonna serve. And so my sermon title is called Don't You Care? For I intrinsically believe that if we can cast our cares upon Him because He cares, we will have more headspace to serve and to give energy, not just in the church, but in our marriages, with our kids, in our family. And I believe one of the main obstacles to serving, whether that be in the house or whether it be at home, is our head is full and we have many cares. But there's a verse for that. So we're going to read quickly. We're going to go through the story of Mary and Martha. Many of us know it well, but I might preach it different to how you've heard it. Luke 10, 38 to 42, if you have your Bible here. Can you just quickly show me if you have a Bible? I know Stephen Bowl has a new Bible. Gee, Dad, that's an improvement. There's Bibles around the place. Come on. Praise God. Stephen has a lovely new little pocket Bible. It's like the opposite of Dad's. Dad, hold your slab up. Look at that. That thing could be used like to, yeah, that's, there you go. And mum's there as well. He didn't build the church upon Peter. He built it upon Rob's Bible. So Pastor Rob's Bible. Luke 10, 38, in the Message version, because I love the way Eugene captures it, says this, it's going to be on the screen, says, as they continued their travel, Jesus entered a village. And a woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister Mary who sat before the master hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in interrupting them, Master, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Tell her to lend me a hand. The master said, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course, and it will not be taken from her. I love how the New King James puts it. It says, Mary has chosen the one needful thing. The one needful thing. One more verse, and then we'll pray. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your cares upon Him. Yes. For He cares for you. I'm fighting against a lot of children today, aren't I? Praise God. Help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we don't need to be concerned about the cacophony choir of children. But Father, I pray this morning you would speak to Martha's, you would speak to Mary's. For all of us fall into one of those categories. And Father, you would refine the area where we need to grow and increase. And Lord, this morning, we would walk away encouraged, not down and despondent about our natural wiring, but encouraged with a revelation that we can grow and we can change and we can lean in to you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. I am going to attempt to do something that may fall flat. I don't have children yet, so I am aware I don't fully know what busy is. But all I have is my story, so I need you to be kind to me. And I'm going to tell you about when I lost Heather Porter. For when I lost Heather Porter, I realized how much she did for me. The year was, I can't remember, 2012 or something, and I was working, I'd left school, and I got an email from my dad. And the email said this, said, "Dear Fred, how are they?" I didn't. But it was a long email, essentially outlining that they were moving to China. And it was very Rob Porter-ish. It was very, hey, if you feel uncomfortable with this, like, let's have a chat. We feel God on it. But, and I remember sitting in my little sales cubicle in Brendale at Dropship Central. It's hard to say, Dropship Central. I was a sales manager at the time. Caleb Shepherd worked for me. He was a terrible employee. Hey, he was struggling with depression. And so, what he was. And so, I looked at this email and in classic Fred Porter fashion, I thought, come on, they're going to take the glory of God to China. It's going to be awesome. I replied, "Father, that sounds great. Very encouraging, as I usually were." And they went off to China and a couple of things began to happen. I realized that doctor's appointments don't just get booked. I realized that you have to go into Medicare to renew your card. I realized that files and birth certificates, they aren't just there. You have to go and look for them. And all of a sudden, now bear with me, I don't have a baby yet, but I'd gone from a high schooler living at home to someone that was working long hours in a youth ministry that was pretty full on, parents in China. I was pretty, and I don't say this in a martyr way, but I was a little bit alone. And it starts to stack up. You've got to find rentals. You've got to do this and do that. And it's not so much about the business, but it's about the quickness in which things moved. And so I'm there and I'm a sales manager, probably too young to be a sales manager, but I was a go-getter, which my Russian boss liked. And so, his name was Yuri and he was terrifying. There's something about someone with genuine authority, they don't have to say much. Walk into his office, "Fred, have you done this refund correctly?" You look at it, I know I hadn't. "No." "Why?" "I made a mistake." "Do not let it happen again." So, anyway, all of a sudden, this three brain that likes to hustle and go in the areas he likes to hustle and go had to start thinking about things that he never had to think about before. And all of a sudden, I was 21 or something. I was in this country or in this state by myself. And it added up. I was probably working 45, 50 hours a week in a youth ministry. Our church had a prayer meeting every Tuesday that you didn't have to be at, but you had to be at. And it was a full-on time. And I watched as my time with the Lord, isn't it funny, it's the first thing to go. My time with the Lord disappeared. My battle with lust returned. And I began to get annoyed at the church. Now, I'm a three, so I realized this 2 years later. I was like, oh, that's what was happening. Crazy. But the cares and the effect and the things I had to do, just to set this up, I am Martha. I am Martha. In my marriage, I am Martha. Which is weird to say, but I am. I'm exceptionally focused on the Martha things, the things of life, the minutiae. Although actually, and we'll get into it later, in ministry I'm Martha, in my marriage I'm Mary. I'm the worst of both worlds. In ministry, I'm like, we got things to do. We got sandwiches to make. We got this to do. In my marriage, I'm like, babe, let's sit on the couch and stare into each other's eyes forever. She's like, are you kidding me? Like, we've got stuff to do. Like, have you fed Zane? Like, we've got a dog and you can't keep on top of it. How are you going to keep on top of a child? Like, what about the finance, the budgets? I'm like, babe, I understand that, but I've been ministering. And right now, to refill and I'm just being honest with you, to refill and let's just connect. So at church, I'm Martha, and at home, I'm Mary, but I'm the wrong traits of each. That wasn't in my notes. It's funny though, isn't it? Like I feel like a lot of Marthas need a bit of Mary and a lot of Mary need a bit of Martha. Yeah. And this story has always been preached as so I've heard it, where Mary's the spiritual one. Yeah. Mary definitely owns land, you know what I mean? Mary definitely has long hair. Think of like 2018 Jesse Rose. Now don't hear what I'm not saying. Jay can hustle. But Jesus, I used to get mad at Jesse. What'd you do this week? You know, and she'd done a bunch because she's a hustler. But then she'd be like, I went on this date with Jesus. And instinctively as a dude, I'm like, weird. So he spoke to me. And I'm going to be real. I'd be like, yeah, but what'd you get done? What'd you get done? Jesse would be like, spent time with my Lord and Savior. But right, if we were casting these two, if you're new to church, no one ever goes up to someone and goes, you've got such a Martha spirit. We say things like, you're such a David in the kingdom. You're a Mary. You're John the Beloved. Mary's name means beloved. Isn't that great? Mary, what does your name mean? It means beloved. Where art thou, my beloved? Let us get away together. Let us date and talk about things and envision and dream with Papa. You know what Martha means? Lady of the house. If you were going for a Christian play, you know what I mean? Do you want to be Mary or Martha? Let's pretend you're a new Christian. I don't know, I'm pretty chill. Apparently a dude is trying out for the role. I don't know, whatever. Like, what's the synopsis? Well, this one's Mary. Okay, what does Mary do? Well, Mary means beloved. And she sits at the feet of Jesus and she chooses the needful thing. And Jesus uses her as an example of what to prioritize. Cool. What does Martha do? Martha means lady of the house. And she makes sandwiches. Can I be honest? I dread to think of what the local church would be like without Marthas. For we need Marthas and Marys, and we need Marthas and Marys to learn from each other. But I think Marthas have got a bad rap over the years. Abby, maybe you could come back and join me. I do not know where 15 minutes went, but it went. It left me quickly, swiftly. Thanks, Abs. Yeah, I am. I've got to hurry up. But luckily, the whole congregation's hearing about my process. So what we're going to do is we're going to cut a little bit out so we can stick to time so that the altar time is powerful because you're not bored by that point. Yeah. So in the ESV version, we read the Message version. The ESV version says, and then Martha invited Jesus into her house. What? Okay, Fred, this is kind of funny and whatever, but what does this have to do with generosity? Everything. The kids are not about me today. Sorry, gang. Invited Jesus into her house. Oh, okay. Mary's a freeloader. Mary's chilling, doing like school of ministry or YWAM while someone else cooks, while someone else pays the bills. Which brings me swiftly to my first point. The reason you can sit is because someone else is serving. Jesus never tells Martha off for making stuff in the kitchen. He never tells Martha off for working hard and having a house. He never tells off. He just wants to rearrange her priorities. He is not saying you're wrong and Mary's awesome. There may have been a conversation we don't see recorded where he said, Mary, you got to do something. In the words of Heidi Baker, I lay down and soak so I can get up and run. We do not sit at the feet of Jesus so we can sit at the feet of Jesus. We sit at the feet of Jesus to be refilled, refueled, re-envisioned, encouraged, that we may go out and make disciples of all people. You see, we have to get the order correct, but what we have in the Western church often is young adults that are great at sitting but never serve, and people that are great at serving but they burn out because they're not sitting. And we need to come together, and you this morning need to find out, am I a Mary or a Martha? Or if you're me, am I both but the worst parts and I need to work on it? We can see it, right? Something that I love about my mom is when she would teach me the Bible, she would really encourage my imagination. And we had these, I've told you this before, but we had these red tapes about the Old Testament. Man, you want to do some Old Testament trivia? Let's go, man. Like, we can go Mephibosheth. We can go there. Naboth's vineyard. The reason I remember is because they all had different voices. But I look at this and I see it through the eyes of imagination. This isn't biblical, but I see Martha preparing and I see her feeling the weight. See, Mary didn't feel any weight because it wasn't her house, so she didn't have responsibility. But Martha is going, the King of Kings is in my house. I want to feed him. I want to serve him. Can I say, that's not a bad posture. I can imagine, and this is extra biblical, but I imagine Jesus talking to Mary and teaching Mary, and I imagine Mary in the kitchen preparing and working and serving, trying to hear, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss what our Messiah is saying, but I have a responsibility. The reason Jesus says Martha twice, Martha, Martha, most theologians believe he only said it once. But they translated and they wrote it twice to try and encapsulate the care, empathy, and compassion in the voice of our Savior as he said, Martha. If I'm honest, and when I was preparing this, I was getting teary in my study because I felt the Father going, Fred, you worry about so much, but Mary's chosen the needful thing and it will not be taken from her. The reason you can sit is because someone else is serving. And that's not a statement of condemnation. That's a statement of encouragement. Maybe your time of sitting is done. Maybe the Lord is saying, hey, let's go. Hey, let's, it's time to get up. Because if I can be so bold, we're good at the West in knowing when it's time to sit. We're good in the West at knowing when it's time to stop working, especially in church. I love young people. I've dedicated over a decade of my life to young people, but they're funny, man. And I was that too. I used to do it too, but it's like, you know, oh, how's your week been? Oh, it's been big. Did my two shifts at the cafe. I know God's calling me to be a part-time barista, but it's tiring. It is tiring. And that one unit of my arts degree, it's getting on top of me. But praise God, on Sunday I'm going to come and I'm going to sit. And meanwhile, we got single mum serving us chips. We got people that have no right to be standing. Standing, why? Because they know how to sit in private. The reason you can sit is because someone else is serving. If I can be candid with you, stress arrives in my marriage when Anna feels like she carries all the cares. Because as, maybe I'm speaking to the dudes, but I'm good at not caring. Like, I can see the bench is dirty. It doesn't affect my well-being. You know, the dirt's not going anywhere. Chelsea Football Club might be, you know. Sometimes Anna will clean up in front of me in a little bit of a huff to try and make a point. And I know she's trying to make a point, so I purposely ignore the point. I'm just being honest. I'm not saying it's good behavior. I'm just being honest. But then Anna at Marriage Monday or whatever will grab my hand and say, "Babe, I just need to feel like you care." I'm like, I do care. I care about you. I care about people. I care about like us. I care about the... She's like, no, Fred, the stuff you don't want to care about. I need to know you care. I can see Martha being like, Jesus, do you care? Do you care about my mortgage? Do you care about the fact that I'm looking after what theologians believe is my younger brother, younger sister, and Mary and Lazarus? Do you care? Yeah. I'm the firstborn. The pressure's on me. Yeah. We bring it into our modern day context. Hey, God, I'm a single mom and I'm looking after these kids, and we pray for missionaries, and Pastor Rob goes to Ukraine and sees people saved, and Pastor Fred preaches all over and worship leaders. But what about me? Do I have a call? Yeah. Am I your careful concern? I barely have time to sit at all. Do you care about me? And the resounding cry of the Father is, I care. I'm carefully concerned. Got to keep moving. Point number two, serving without our Savior is striving. I like alliteration. I'm going to keep doing it. Martha is worried about a lot. The word worry, check this out. This is so cool. The word worry, when I studied this word this week, this translation of it means to petition off areas. And in this situation, to petition off areas from God. That's what worry is we petition off areas from God. Hey, God, thank you for your grace, your love, your truth. But my counseling, I'm petitioning that off from you. Thank you, God, that you're good and you're here and you're faithful. My finances, I'm petitioning that off from you. It's not what we want to do. We need to remember that we can cast our cares upon him because he cares. And we're pretty good at casting our magnanimous cares on him, right? Hey, Lord, like my marriage is falling apart, I need your help. We're pretty good at that. We're pretty good at, Lord, if you don't come through, I can't pay rent next week. You know what I think we maybe could be better at? Hey, Lord, today I feel a bit on edge and I don't know why. Would you help me today? Father, I'm scared and I don't know why. I'm just driving to work, but I feel fear. Would you come? Lord, little Timmy just will not stop slapping people at daycare, and it's a small thing, but it's stressing me out. Would you come? We need to listen to the prayers of children to get a good idea. I remember once we were at a summer camp and I was ministering, and I don't know why I did this. It was like literally 10 years ago. But I got this young kid up and I said, why don't you pray for us, bro? Like, and I knew he was like a leader's kid, so he would know what to do. And he literally like stood at the front. He was in like year 7. He's like, Lord, thank you that you're here. God, thank you for the music. It's loud. I like it when it's loud. Thank you for the speaker. Lord, would you bless him and his family? If he has a family, I don't know if he has a family. Lord, legit, he said this. Lord, thank you for my hat. I'd love a new hat. Thank you for school when it comes back. Lord, help me not to be scared at school of the big guy. Amen. He just told God what he was thinking. You can talk to God and you can cast your cares upon him. Because he cares. Fred, this is all right. How the heck does this tie into generosity? Everything. Because if you cast your cares upon him, if you sit at his feet, but also stand and serve in the kitchen, you will be able to make it come together. Can I say this? Stop reading Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Stop looking at your Google Cal. Still do those things. Pray. Father, what do you want me to do right now? I'm convinced that many people sit when God is asking them to serve. And many people serve when God is asking them to sit. What's he saying to you and for you? Number three, and we'll end with this. You okay this morning? You are his careful concern. Me and Jesse Rose were chatting this week about church and how, just church big C, like the global church, how we get really excited about, you know, and it's good to get excited about ministers and young worship leaders and missionaries. And we didn't really come up with a solution, but we're just talking about like, how can we make sure that whatever anyone's called to, whatever anyone's mission and assignment is, they feel seen and valued in the kingdom of God. Because Jesus was the master at making everyone feel seen. From the preacher, to the tax collector, to the tradesman, to the woman caught in things she shouldn't be caught in, to the, do you know what I mean? It's almost like the synoptic gospels capture Jesus making sure everyone felt seen. The enemy in the centurion, he made sure everyone felt seen and knew who he was. Can I tell you this morning, no matter your assignment, no matter what you're called to, no matter your season of life, we all get frustrated, right? He cares. He cares. He cares. He cares. He cares. He sees you. Single parent, he sees you. You might be there going, they always highlight single parents. I'm a parent with a partner. It's still hard. He sees you. You don't have much money. He sees you. You got lots of money. He sees you. Money brings its own problems too. You are his careful concern. I love that in the Bible, nothing is wasted and no thought is wasted. You see, for years I heard sermons about how Mary was spiritual and how we need to be like Mary, which is true. But something happens in John that I just think is one of the most beautiful things ever. They write to Jesus and say, hey, Lazarus, our brother is sick. And he replies and says, the sickness is not terminal, but it's for the glory of God, for the Son of God to be revealed. Send word to Martha and her sister that I'm coming. In every other recounting of anything to do with Mary and Martha, it is always Mary and Martha. But in a moment of need, it's like Jesus was looking and saying, Martha, you're my careful concern. I'm coming, daughter. I'm on my way. You might go, is that a reach? Not really. He does the same thing with Peter. Peter has just denied Jesus while swearing about him 3 times after Jesus pre-warned him that that would happen. And when the angel is at the tomb in Luke, he says, go and tell the disciples and Peter. Why? Why did the angel's assignment include Peter? He could have said any of them. I believe it's because Jesus knew that Peter was feeling down. Peter was feeling despondent. Peter was feeling like, I've stuffed up. He even warned me. And then publicly I denied him because of my fear. And it's like Jesus was like, I see you, son. I see you. It's all good. I know I warned you about it. And I know that I see you. We'll catch up soon. And in John, it's like he writes a love letter to Martha's everywhere. Saying, hey, my daughter, my son, I see you. I see you paying the bills. I see you chasing the kids around. I see you trying to make your marriage work when there feels like there's no spark. I see you. You're not lesser than. You're not lesser than the young adult that's got time to spend 2 days a week with Jesus, which isn't bad, but it's a different season. Dad said it today. There's a time and a season for everything. Cast your cares upon him, church. Because as you do, you will see generosity rise up because you have not compartmentalized your life away from God with worry. You will be able to go into serving, whatever that looks like. We've talked about money. This morning's a bit more about our time and energy, but it all is the same spirit. I haven't seen many people who are exceptionally generous with their money, but then stingy as with their time. They might have a bit less time because they're out making money, but a spirit of generosity will permeate through every room of your heart. But you won't be able to if you're caught up in all the cares. For Mary is not better than Martha, but she did choose the more needful thing. Even if she chose it from a posture of laziness, which it doesn't say, even if she chose it from, it's still the best thing. What's Jesus saying? Regardless of intent, sitting at my feet will always benefit. Why don't we stand this morning? Isn't that just a beautiful story?
Yeah.
I love how Jesus just sees us, hey. He sees us. Just a quick recap. The reason you can sit is because someone else is serving. And that's not, once again, that's not to condemn, but it's good to remember that. You might be a young adult that lives at home and you've got a bit of spare time and you go on dates with the Lord. Just don't forget that you can do that because your parents are paying the bills, looking after you. You might have no time to sit at the feet of Jesus because you're looking after your kids and you're trying to make ends meet and you've got no time. Jesus is kind. but try and find time with him. Point number two, serving without our Savior is striving. Hey, Marthas, we need you. We love you. I'd hate to see the local church without you. But if you do not sit at the feet of Jesus, you will have seasons of serving and seasons of burning out. But instead of serving like amazingly for 2 years and then disappearing for 2 years and being angry at the church like I was a little bit, why don't you modulate? Hey, I'm going to serve with all I am and I'm going to sit with all I have. And number three, you are his careful concern. I just want to check quickly. We're going to sing in a second, maybe about Jesus would be good. I just want to check everyone here knows Jesus. It's a Sunday morning, so you might, but you might be here and you might not know Jesus. You might be here and you might have walked away from Jesus. I'm not going to get you to come out the front. All I'm going to do is, as we close our eyes and bow our heads across this place, you can see the lights are dim, so we've created an environment where you don't feel awkward. But if that's you and you're saying, hey, I feel like I'm out in the kitchen, but not in the house of God, outside of it. I feel on the outside. Maybe you've walked away from God, I don't know. But if this morning you want to sit at the feet of Jesus and you've walked away from him or you haven't done that before, would you just give me a wave right where you are, just in a moment of boldness? Just want to make sure everyone here knows Jesus, knows the great friend who cares for us. Just a couple more moments.
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's message. Our hope is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, we'd like to invite you to begin your journey with him today. When we read scripture, we see that sin separates us from God, but that our relationship with God is restored by salvation through Jesus Christ. This happens because God gave Jesus his Son to die in our place, to deal with the sin problem, and he rose again so that we can have eternal life with him. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can know salvation today. If you're ready to do that and turn from a life of sin, then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer for the first time today, we would love to know and reach out to you and support you. So please contact us at hello@kingdomculturechurch.com.au.